Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Play fake. Goff on the drop. Has time. Shuffles left. Throws to the end zone. Wide open receiver. Cooks. And the ball is knocked incomplete thanks to a great and late recovery by McCourty. Jason McCourty.
.779-0985, the telephone number. You may have seen yesterday that the Patriots tweeted out a picture that said we're going to need a new plane. Did you catch that?
Oh, I didn't.
They tweeted out a picture of the tail of their plane with the, that was the caption. We're going to need a new plane because they have five trophies on the tail of the plane.
Gotcha.
I just got a tweet. Or an email, actually, from a listener who sent us in a picture of the plane, and it appears... Now, they do have two planes, right? Don't they have a backup plane? Well, this particular plane looks like the Patriots plane, minus all of its decals. So
is, yeah, that's the backup plane.
That's the backup plane.
Every once in a while, you'll see that at TF Green
there. Wow. So Tim sent in this photo going, is this the plane? Are they already repainting, stripping the old decals, the old... No, that's the backup plane. So, okay. So if you
it
see
wouldn't
that,
shock me if they were doing it now, but they do have a backup plane that doesn't have as many decals on it.
Yeah, I was going to say the coloring looks different on this one.
But have you guys seen the inside of that plane?
I've seen photos of it, yes.
Yeah, how's it look? I've never seen the inside of that plane. I'd be curious what
Well, Zoe and I once had a debate here one day about how large the screen is on each seat, because Zoe claims it's like the size of a 65-inch television on each seat. And I tried to say, well, come on, it's not
about
that
the
big,
size.
So.
About the size of an iPad.
It's like a built-in iPad.
So every, seat. Okay, on the back of
but
every
you know
seat.
What I would say? It's the same as Delta. I flew on Delta for this trip. I would say it's the same exact size, which is a good size.
I got to say it's the same as the JetBlue flight I was on down and back. They have
new ones?
Not the standard ones. Yeah, like bigger screens right there. It's all right, man. All kinds of movies to watch. There was like three movies on there I hadn't seen yet.
On demand now, too, not just television.
Start
channels.
It up whenever you want. Like what do you want? White Boy Rick? What do you want? The Predator?
I went
White Boy Rick on the way down. I went the Predator on the way back.
White Boy Rick sucked, by the way. I had such high expectations for that.
It was not as good as I thought it was going to be. The Predator was what I thought it was going to be.
The good thing about the on demand is I believe
the new version of Predator?
The Predator. You know,
Predator. Gotcha, my bad.
You know, Alien versus Predator. Yeah, Predator 2, Alien versus Predator. Then you had Alien versus Predator Requiem.
Yes.
Then you had Predators. And now you have the Predator.
The Predator.
If you ever fly to, let's say, like Miami, and you take a big loop out over the ocean to or from, you know, you lose it because, you're an international. We can't get the
Bermuda
TV.
Bermuda Triangle.
But if you have on-demand content, I think you could play it the entire trip, right? It's not subject to, like, the TV blackouts that happen on those international flights.
I don't know. It's a good question. Is it like stored on?
I know a guy who's going on one of those international flights in a couple of weeks. I'm going to have him check for me on the way. See if the on-demand content is available.
Yeah.
And over the international waters.
Give you the heads up for the very similar trip that you've been taking a few weeks after him.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what I'm going to have somebody do.
All right.
Fred's in Norwood. Fred.
What's going on, guys?
How we doing?
What's up, bro?
I'm great. So I know it's super early, but that's the way I am, especially as a fan. McCourty talking about retirement. I think our DBs are incredible, but if Duke Dawson is as good as everyone was said he was going to be, then we might have one extra. What do you guys think about Jonathan Jones taking over from McCourty? He's the same height, same weight. I think he's maybe a little faster, but he seems like the right mold. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I think you have two solid corners to begin with if you're counting J.C. Jackson as one of them.
Hey, that kid made a name for himself this year, did he not?
Sure did.
I mean, he came out of nowhere, undrafted. When you saw him on Juju Smith-Schuster in that Steelers game, and they tested him early, I was like, that shows a lot of confidence in that kid. Put J.C. Jackson on that player. They matched him up with some of the better receivers that they would go against towards the end of the season. So I think that kid's going to have a bright future here.
Yep, undrafted guy who's made an impact right out of the gate. Sort of reminds you of, I don't know, Malcolm Butler a little bit in that regard in terms of the path. So I think, you know, you've got two really good corners. And you've got a great one. You've got an all-pro one in Stephon Gilmore. So we'll see. I mean, it's a classy problem to have. Yeah. Too many corners.
Yeah. Oh, you can't have enough. And what they like to do, and if they can be interchangeable, you can play him at safety. Bill loves to play a lot of times his corners at safety and interchange them to disguise, so they can do that. The secondaries, this is a solid secondary. I mean, it really is. And it's funny because what has been the biggest knock on Patriots defenses in recent years is pass rush. I don't have a pass rush. And, yeah, even though Trey Flowers, I don't consider him an elite pass rusher. I consider him a pretty good pass rusher. They have some of the best schemes as how they rush the passer as any team out there. So, yeah, they may not have the bigger names, but they have advanced schemes that create pressure.
Well, you say advanced, but can you believe that teams fall for stunts the way they have, like the way the Rams did early in this game on Sunday night?
Oh,
it's unbelievable.
It was.
You've got more blockers than they have rushers. You've got to be able to figure that out.
Yeah.
And they couldn't do it.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it. Look, so you have pressure by Dante.
You've got Danny Shelton getting to the quarterback. Yeah. You've got Adrian Claiborne getting to the quarterback. Those guys are not Trey Flowers.
No.
Those are the lesser of the guys you have up front. And they were creating things with those players simply with movement.
Yeah, the movement and moving around. It's got them all confused. They're unsettled. And if you hesitate for a split second, boom, those guys are right by you. I mean, a lot of these pressures were off of stunts and twists. And so, you know, it's stunts and twists. Basically, they involve two or three people. I got most of my sacks off of stunts and twists. You know, it's kind of one of those deals where two guys slant in, you come around, they forget you, and you turn that corner tight and you're able to make play. The Patriots are very good at stunning and twisting. And it's got to be a coordinated thing for all guys on that defensive line. They all got to be synchronized in the timing in which they do it, which isn't easy. They're the best at syncing up those twists and those stunts better than most teams in the league.
Derek is in Plymouth. Hi, Derek.
I was wondering, do you think the Patriots next year are going to mold into a ground-and-pound team? Solid offensive line. You know, Tom getting older, you know what I mean? Trying to, like, run teams, solid defense. Like, you were talking about the corners, how solid they are. Do you think that's what's the Patriots are going to mold into?
I don't. I don't believe that. I don't believe any team should want to mold into that at this stage of the NFL. The Patriots did that out of necessity when they ran this year. They didn't do it because that's what they like to do or that's what made them the best team. They did it because they needed to, and I think they also appreciate establishing the run and being able to run when you need to.
Yeah. What did you?
But it's still a pass-first team, and it's a pass-first league.
Of course. They'll adapt. You know, they can be a ground-and-pound team for – yeah, you're right. If there's other deficiencies or they perceive deficiencies and they need to lean on their running game, they'll do it. When's the last time this team has been where you would say their bread and butter was to run the rock, ground-and-pound, this offense? It has to predate 2007 because I feel like when 2007 hit, it was all that was all out. It had to be 2004, right, with Corey Dillon?
I guess, but they threw plenty that year.
I know, but Tom wasn't Tom quite yet.
At that point, I think he had sort of started to become.
He was becoming it, you know. But when you have a rusher and Corey Dillon that rushed for 1,600 yards, it's kind of hard to say that it wasn't the identity of that team.
15 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. Right. 15 years ago. So that's the last time. That's my point, Beetle. That's the last time could say this team was identified as a running team.
Yeah, and I would say that they were probably a balanced team compared to most in the league, right?
Right.
And so, yeah, that era, 15 years ago or more, were those types of teams.
You
not
know,
now.
And it just hit me. There was a fun little stat. I'm not a huge stat guy, but it was a fun little nugget, stat nugget. That the Patriots in the playoffs rushed the ball 45% of their time. 45% of the plays were rushes. That was the most of any team in the playoffs since 2004.
Wow, good stat.
So this team did turn the clock and go back in time in some respects as to how they were deciding to run the football.
Right, but if you look at other teams, look at Dallas, for example. They've got Zeke Elliott. They've got a great offensive line. And all that was talked about after their loss in the playoffs was they couldn't throw the football. They were inept. You know, you got to be able to throw the ball. You've got to be able to do that. And they still have – they've got a quarterback, right? They made a trade for a receiver in the middle of the season who had a lot of success there in Amari Cooper, and it still wasn't enough. And we all looked at that team and said, it's not enough. You got to have more. Mm-hmm. And I think the Patriots would have benefited greatly from having someone on the outside in that game on Sunday. They desperately tried to create that with Chris Hogan. Couldn't do it. Could have made the job a lot easier on themselves. Scott is in Vermont with a question about Josh Gordon. What's up, Scott?
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
I was wondering, I'm assuming Josh gets a Super Bowl ring.
He will.
And will he be looked at for the team roster for next year? I thought he was a pretty good wide receiver. Is he out of National Football League, or does he have a chance to come back?
Okay, Scott. Well, his status is sort of unknown at this point. There was a report today that he could be back with the team as soon as training camp.
He's under contract for another year?
He's a restricted free agent, so they have to tender him. But, yeah.
Restricted free agent?
They have his control.
When did he get in the league again?
He's been in the league a while, but his year's told because he wasn't playing.
I should laugh. I mean, wow, right?
Restricted
free agent who entered the league when he did, I don't know, say 2012?
Yeah, for a guy who will be 28 years old next year and he's going to be restricted free agent. You don't see that very often.
No, you don't. Yeah, you don't. I don't think you can really – I think that's something that you can't really count on, right?
No, you can't. They couldn't count on him this year. There's no reason to believe you would be able to count on him next year.
That's exactly right.
I think that when you get to this point, you win the Super Bowl, right? And you were able to do it without Josh Gordon. You say, you know what? We were able to win. Would our job have been made easier? Yes, I just finished saying that. It would have been an easier job to do had you had someone like Josh Gordon. But given that we just won the Super Bowl, we're going to take some time and find someone who isn't Josh Gordon to do the job.
Right.
I think there's going to be some chance. I don't think Chris Hogan will be here next year. His contract is up, and I don't think he's back. So I think that you're going to have some changes to begin with, and I think you just figure that out for your next few years, what that situation is going to be.
Look, he did some good things when he's here, but this offense really clicked. I mean, the second game he was gone was that Jets game, and that was the most efficient and the best quarterback rating Tom had all season long. So I'm not so sure, as great of a player as he is, I'm not so sure it's good for what they like to do on offense, which is spread the ball around, not force feed it to one guy.
The crowds were absolutely insane in Boston today. I haven't seen any official estimates yet, but seeing some of the videos that have been posted from people who are on the floats in the parade, as they cross side streets and look down side streets, it goes back not 10, 20, 30 people deep. It goes back hundreds of people deep in some pockets on this parade route today. We'll try and get more on that. The players are back on the buses. They're headed back to Foxborough, so they are not going to speak at any point. That's it. It's over.
That's a bummer.
Now, good luck.
Get some good audio, man.
Now, good luck getting out of Boston. You all made it in. Good luck getting out.
A little bit of NBA breaking news here, too, Beadle.
Okay, why don't you tell us what that is?
Just very quickly, John Wall slipped and fell at home. He's going to be out 12 months.
You're kidding me.
So he had already had surgery, had a minor incision there, and he slipped and fell and ruptured his Achilles.
Oh, no one likes to see that.
No. John Wall, Wizards, out for a year.
That hurts the Wizards.
4-year, $170 million contract starts at the end of the season.
Wow.
Oh.
Four for 170.
Hmm. Okay.
That's four for 170.
Wow.
How's that taste, Washington?
It's your workday made tolerable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, why not us?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Buckle your chin strap.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You took your shirt off on the dock. You talk about what?
Just taking it all in, enjoying it with these guys. You don't know how many times you're going to get to play with guys like this. It's a special group. I'm just glad to be a part of it. I'm glad to be a part of this offensive line. These guys, we've worked our tails off since May, April. It's been tough. It's been special. I'm just glad to be a part of this group, though.
That was David Andrews after the parade. You're catching some of this drips and drabs. They spoke to a few members of the media before getting back on the buses, heading back to Foxborough.
Did you ever think that this group was special, like, for the majority part of this season? I mean, you hear, this is a special group. This group of guys, I mean, it's special. It's like, yeah, I mean, all of a sudden it became special.
Well, special in the sense.
Nothing special.
They get a lot of
the year.
They get a lot of good, like, high-character football guys.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got guys that are really devoted to their profession and are good for the room, right? Think of the McCourty twins or Andrews or Matthew Slater, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that list goes on and on and on. But in terms of a special group of talent, no. To go back to that montage, you know, who had the more talented roster going into the game, you can make the case easily that the Rams have more talent mm-hmm. on their roster. This is one of those cases of team over talent. Preparation over, you know, just pure talent, going out there and doing what you do. All of that stuff.
Yeah, it's always kind of funny. There's so many times you go into a game with the Patriots in it where it's, well, on paper, they're a better team than the Patriots. Okay, well, that's proven time and time again that doesn't matter. That there's really, it's about how well this team plays. The idea, though, you know, I think I would say those teams in the early 2000s had maybe bigger names, even though back then we didn't really think of them as big names. Now they're, you know, now you can consider some of those guys on those teams like, well, those are big names back then. These guys maybe don't have those big names, but damn, they play well together. You know, I mean, particularly on defense, it was like that defense might not jump out at you. I mean, we had one. They had one player on defense, all-pro, Stephon Gilmore, all-pro. But I don't know if they had any pro bowlers. But yet, that unit, it played so well together and towards the end of the season that it truly shows you what, you know, it's not about the best players. It's the right players. That's a term you usually hear when it's referencing the Patriots. So, It's you know, those guys inside, they feel special because they're able to do it with, you know, maybe when a lot of people obviously didn't think they could do it. And I didn't think they were going to do it, Beetle. I mean, I watched that defense and I was like, man, the effort wasn't there. I just saw guys that looked like that just weren't playing hard. And man, did they prove me wrong. And they turned it around. They literally hit the switch. And I saw it in that Buffalo game, and I saw it in that Jets game, and I thought, man, you got the Chargers coming in here, wounded, feasted on them, and then the path was there for them.
617-779-0985. Matt is in Westboro on James Devlin. What's up, Matt?
All right, guys. So James Devlin is my MVP of the year, and I have two points to make in that case. First is, if he misses his block, do they win the AFC Championship game in overtime? No. If he misses his block, do they win the Super Bowl? No. That's James Devlin, man. Everybody's been talking about the O-line, and I think that people need to mention him, firstly. And then secondly, I love the fact that defenses in the NFL have turned into speedy defenses. They're trying to, you know, beat you at the passing game because that's what the NFL's kind of turned into. And I love that Belichick went back to the run to beat those defenses. I really feel that was his way. And Teddy, I think you'll agree with me there. Big fan. Guys, have a good day.
All right, Matt. Appreciate it. James Devlin had a great run here for this team late in the year.
He did.
Had a great game on Sunday. Does all the things you expect him to do, and he just gets the job done. I mean, love that guy.
I would be curious how many NFL teams actually carry a fullback
on
their roster.
Employee fullbacks? There's not that many.
Hardly at all.
Like in the classic sense of the word? Yeah, he's a classic like throwback fullback.
MVP? Did he say James Devlin was his MVP?
Yeah, you know what he means. Like, he just deserves more credit.
Yeah, most valuable player, I assume, is what he meant when you say MVP.
Seems maybe a most strong.
Yeah,
he was probably a little exuberant.
How about MUP? He's the most underrated player.
Like it, Hardy. I like it. James Devlin was a beast, guys. I mean, he was an absolute beast. He, you never saw his guy make the play. You know, I mean, that's kind of what you. Does the guy you're going against, does he make the play against you? No, his guy never made the play. He was, I mean, he basically, they said to Sony Michel for most of the season, because they only put Sony Michel out there when James Devlin was out there. Just follow this guy, follow 46 around. He'll take you to where you need to go. James Devlin was phenomenal. I thought some of the best blocking. And hell, if you need, all you need from the fullback too, you guys, is to catch a ball in the flat every now and then. You just to give you a threat to maybe being able to catch the ball. And James Devlin, as big as he is, I mean, he is a monster for that position. He can catch the ball. He's athletic enough to catch the ball out in the flat every now and then and give you a first down here and there. That's what you need out of a fullback. A lot of fullbacks today, when they're out there, they can't catch the ball out of the backfield.
So he said right now he's benching 500.
That's a lot, buddy.
And he's squatting 670 on the regular.
I'd put those numbers up against any position in the NFL. Those are monster numbers, right? In today's NFL, when it's sleeker, you don't hear guys throwing up that kind of weight anymore. Good God, 670 squat? I can't even imagine.
I'd be hard pressed to squat six. I can't imagine going over 6.25 at the most.
Right, right. But 670? Woo, right, bud? I mean, yeah, your ceiling is about 600. I get that, bro. Yeah. I can totally see that with those legs of yours. But
thank you.
But bench pressing 500 pounds.
That's ridiculous.
Those are numbers you used to hear back in like the 80s when guys were juicing it up a little bit, right?
A
lot of guys, right?
A lot of juice.
And
Brian Bosworth numbers.
Right, right. That's when you hear those numbers. And he's doing it clean, man. And he's a phenomenal, phenomenal fullback. As big as he is, to be as athletic as he is, that dude is fun to watch, man. He's like my mirror position, right? I played Mike. You don't see too many Mike linebackers anymore. And to see him be as key to this offense as he was all year is pretty cool, man, because he was key. I mean, this offense was needed a spark when the passing game wasn't going well, Beetle. Hey, I could just hear Bill going, hey, Josh, get 21 personnel in there. Let's go. I'm tired of this. Let's go. Get these guys in there, all right? So here comes 46. Here comes 26. They start running down your throat, and then that would open up the passing game, and then they get back on track again.
Let's go to Reed, who's in Newton on the parade today. What's up, Reed?
Hey, how's it going? Just a quick two things, guys. Only a Boston sports fan could say this because this is probably the last time I go to a parade because I don't know what the weather, but just idiots come out of the woodwork when it becomes nice out. Just the amount of dumb high schoolers filming, screaming Barstool and throwing Bud Lights that they stole from their stepdad is just unbelievable. And then on a side note, I was just wondering if you think this Super Bowl win finally puts us in front of the Cowboys for the overall worth of the franchise, which I think if it was correct would blow it away with Tom Brady and Belichick. But I'll leave it to you guys from there. Thanks for taking the call.
I'm confused. I'm confused by the Cowboys question.
Yeah. Was he trying to get at, like, what's the best franchise?
What's the most valuable franchise? I think the Cowboys a couple of years ago.
From a business side.
Yeah, like.
Monetarily speaking.
Like worth more than, like, some English soccer
teams. I don't think it does. I don't. Their fan base is enormous.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This doesn't change anything.
And
yeah,
it includes everything. That includes Jerry's, like, 100,000-person mm-hmm. stadium there,
yes.
Like state-of-the-art, which is...
Yes.
Gillette's fine. I didn't like Gillette.
But it's not Jerry World.
It's not new, and it's not Jerry World.
Oh, that factors into the overall value.
I think so. Yep. It must. Yeah, buy this team. Here's the stadium, all this stuff. And how many billions were the Cowboys valued at? Like $4 billion, I think.
Did we all remember the number that the Patriots were purchased at by Robert Kraft?
$182 million.
Something like that. It was under $200 million. Okay.
172.
Crazy, right? Where we are now.
I would
now.
Say good return on investment there. Yeah.
I would say so.
I'd say it's worked out for him.
Yeah,
I would say so.
$4.8 billion right now, as of July 18th of last year.
Wow. The Cowboys or the
Dallas
Patriots?
Cowboys.
Okay.
So, RKK, after we lost two games in 2001, he's at practice, and they're building a new stadium right next to the old stadium.
Right.
2001. We start the season 0-2. Week 3, he comes up to me. He's like, Ted, Mr. Kraft, how you doing? He's like, oof. He points to this new stadium being built right next to it. He's like, oof, having trouble getting PSLs, you know? Having trouble getting people to sign up long term for this new, you know, this new stadium. That was week 3 of 2001. He's worried about getting the stadium filled that he's building this new stadium. Like, after the season, I asked him, you feeling pretty good about that new stadium? Feeling good, Teddy. Feeling pretty good.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
This helps my emotions.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We got a call a couple minutes ago about all the stupidity at the parade. And then we watched a fight video of something that happened at the parade today.
Yep.
I hope that was an isolated incident.
I hope so too, man. That was an ugly scene that we just saw.
God, everybody's there to have a good time.
Relax, everybody. Can't we all get along, man? Let's act like you've been here before.
Like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
What are we doing here? Come on. 617-779-0985.
That's what Philly fans do, man. That's not what Boston fans do, right? You'd like to think.
Well, they do it sometimes. One man upset the other man. I'm trying to decipher what happened in this video, but
the video doesn't provide enough context to know who was wrong.
One of the young men was upset with the other young man, and then a couple of other young men engaged in the fisticuffs.
Yeah.
They're all very upset.
That's
all we know so far.
It seems rather unnecessary. Jeff is in Washington. Jeff.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
What's up?
You know, I have a saying, too. I just heard your comment there. I have a saying, too. You know, a young man always says, go conquer the world. And an old man says, never take a young man's advice. But anyway, I was wondering about if it's time to clear the air by Roger Goodell on the whole Deflategate thing. You know, not living in New England, it doesn't matter what happens. That's all we hear. And, you know, the scientific evidence proved there was no problem. Nobody was ever actually accused of deflating anything. Wouldn't it be time for Goodell to come out and say, hey, you know, we checked everything out and, you know, nothing really ever happened?
You think that's a realistic expectation that that could happen?
I don't think it's a real expectation. I'm just wondering, you know, wouldn't you think that the logic would come to that? And wouldn't you think that by now the logic of America would come to that?
Nope. Not for them. It makes no logical sense for the league to say something like that. None at all.
There's no way they're going to drudge up that whole thing again. Are you kidding me?
No way.
There's no way they're touching that.
Makes sense for no one. In fact, no one here is talking about it except for you. You brought it up.
Yeah. I mean, the fans everywhere else, they're going to point to different things about the Patriots, Spygate, Deflategate, that kind of stuff, and to try and diminish, to take the shine off of what they've been able to accomplish here. And that's just how it is. But nobody's talking about that. Nobody cares about that anymore. Not around here, I can tell you that. And you can imagine, Roger Goodell went into hiding. He turtled. When the Saints got screwed on that call, I mean, you didn't hear anything from his response to the non-call in the Saints-Rams game was to fine Nickel Roby. That was him saying, you know, what he wanted to say, I guess. But Roger Goodell, no way he's going to put himself out there and address that. That ship has sailed, bud.
Corey is in Plymouth. Corey.
Hey, what's up, boys?
What's
hey,
up,
Corey?
Hey, tell me. Skarnecki is not the most underrated assistant coach of all time. he is easily the best coach in the NFL that is not a head coach. And also, Ted Johnson, you have the biggest neck in the city right now.
Thanks, brother. Yeah. It's not quite as big as it used to be. It's about 4 inches smaller in diameter, I think.
Wow. What's your collar size on the dress shirt?
It's I'd say 19 and a half. 19 and a half.
So you add 4 more inches to that at one point?
Yeah, I say 4. It was about 22. It was at my biggest. I had a 22-inch neck. Wow. Yeah. I had to, boys. This was my weapon, man. I led with my head a lot of times.
It's frowned upon, though.
Yeah, now they wouldn't let you. No. What I was able to get away with, they wouldn't let you get away with now. But, yeah. So, thank you, John Madden, for mentioning my neck in the Super Bowl in 1996. That's what became a thing. So, yeah, it's not nearly – I don't look nearly as much like a circus freak as I used to. Because I did a lot of my tackling on the right side, so this bulged out on the right side, so that add.
Yeah, you could have been Hulk.
Yeah.
You could have played Hulk.
I did for our Halloween party. I won best costume.
Yeah.
I dressed myself up in all green paint. Oh, it was an awesome. It was my favorite costume I've ever done. Everybody say the first nickname I ever got when I got to Colorado, Cordell Stewart, so it was Lou Ferrigno. I'm like, all right, I guess. So I was – people on the street, you know, will come – I have walked by people on the street of Boston, and I hear, Lou. Okay. So I have always been – so I got a great picture with Lou Ferrigno when he used to come to Spooky World, you know, over by Foxborough.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I got a great picture. Oh, the Hulk and I, man, we've become friends over it. Good man, Lou Ferrigno.
Interesting.
Just Google Ted Johnson neck. There's a lot of images.
I forgot. So you were teammates with Cordell Stewart in college.
We came in together, left together. Locker was right next to mine my whole 4 years at Colorado.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Todd Collins still should have lit him up on the sideline. What year was that?
That was 94.
94?
The quarterback for Michigan? 94? Oh, no. I'm sorry. 94. No, you know what? I was getting...
97.
You're right.
Playoff game.
I got Todd Collins mixed because Colorado played Michigan in Michigan. Todd Collins was the quarterback. My old buddy Swamp Chicken Todd Collins, you're talking about here for the pay. It was the playoffs in 97 or 98. I forget what year.
Jim says 97 was the year.
And they scored 7 points in that
game. It was 97 because 98 is the year that Zoe played in the Jacksonville game.
Right. So it was 7-6 was the final score.
And they scored in the first quarter of that game. And you're right. Biddle, that's a great memory. Todd Collins, a.k.a. Swamp Chicken. From Knoxville, Tennessee. Talked to him before the Super Bowl. He's one of my absolute favorite guys. He got fined, I feel like, earlier in the season for a hit on a quarterback. And Cordell turned the corner and was going up the sideline.
So he thought he was going out of bounds.
He thought he was going out of bounds.
He eased up. He should have killed him.
I know.
Is what he should have done.
Like Jonathan Jones did to Goff the other night.
Yes.
That was close. It was close. But, yeah, same thing, guys. And Todd pulled up. Cordell cuts it up inside.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone was smart enough to understand that he was trying to avoid getting penalized there,
yes.
Which is why he was pulling up.
Yep.
And in hindsight, yeah, kill him and risk the penalty.
Yeah.
That's what you should have done.
Yep.
That should have been what you did there.
Todd regrets that one, that's for sure.
I'm sure. Yep. Sam in Haverhill. Hey, Sam.
Sam.
Not ready to go. Nick in Attleboro. Nick.
Yeah, how's it going, man?
What's up?
Just wanted to weigh in on this this whole Brady and Jordan thing, you know, how they compare. And, like, I understand, you know, Jordan was the greatest, you know, he was awesome. But, I mean, Jordan never won a championship at 40-plus years old, you know. He never won an MVP at 40-plus, you know. He never went to 9 championships or whatever it may be. You know, like, I respect him and all that. But it's like a lot of people don't realize when Brady's gone, they're not going to see that no more, you know. They're not going to be able to respect the greatness and see all that in the NFL. And people kind of take advantage of that nowadays in sports, you know, like they tend to hate on the good players, you know, and don't want them to do, you know, whatever it may be. But it's like once they're gone, you know, you're going to regret that. You're not going to see it no more, you know. So I think it's for them to say that you can't compare Brady to Jordan or whoever it may be, any of the greats, I just think is absolutely absurd.
When you compared Tom to Michael Jordan, is it apples to apples? I mean, because quarterback and playing – you know, power forward in the NBA. I mean, you can't play basketball at a high level at the age of 41. You just can't. It's just there's too much wear and tear in the body. Where the quarterback, you make your living with your – you should, the good ones should, with their brain, with their mind. I mean, Tom can keep playing because – I mean, when he's done with a football game, is he just like sweat pouring off? I mean, just physically drained? Not so much, right? It's about what he has to do with his brain. I mean, so Tompkin, he doesn't get hit a whole lot, right? He's well protected. He's not doing RPOs. You don't see him running with the football. So you can last a little bit longer at because of the position he plays. So it's a little bit easier, I would say, to kind of collect, if you will. It's not easier, but I would say it's not as physically taxing on you, so you can play a little bit longer if you're playing quarterback.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub. That's sweet.
Today's takeaways are brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss, the program that's helped Kyle Draper of NBC Sports Boston lose 25 pounds and counting. What's stopping you? Hardy, we got a couple of takeaways today. One involves your beard, which you are keeping, I guess, for the time being.
For the time being.
Mine is long gone. See ya. Let's hear it.
Can I say this right now? I was going to keep the beard for an indefinite amount of time. Seeing you without the beard, I might shave it tonight.
Yeah. It's one of the first things I did when I got home last night.
It's Jim Lau's sound effect.
Yep.
That's terrific.
Just like that. First time he's gotten one right.
You look 10 years younger.
Yeah, of course I do.
Wow. See you.
Yeah, I told you it looks old.
Wow.
I like your beard, Hardy. I think I think you got like a little Sean Connery kind of thing going, man, with that beard.
It's not the look I'm going
what
for.
What do you mean?
I'm not going for a 70-year-old British guy.
I mean, regardless of how old he is, I mean, he's got a nice beard that he can grow in. You got the same thing going, bud. It looks good.
I don't know.
I think you should keep it.
Scottish guy. My apologies.
Oh, but a heartthrob. I mean, who doesn't like Sean Connery? You think he's a handsome son of a gun?
But when did he start growing the beard? I mean, it was long after his James Bond.
Not his Bond. He didn't have that.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right. You know, I didn't think like that when I was referencing Sean Connery. I apologize.
Only Zoe here.
He's a handsome guy. You're a handsome guy.
Do a Sean Connery voice.
You ever had a beard, Ted?
I can't grow one.
What do you mean you can't grow one?
I can't grow a beard. I swear to God, I can't grow
a
beard.
Not enough testosterone, huh?
You got low T? I'm good on that. I'm
low T?
No, Hardy, you know, I told you. I'm good. My T levels are up there, baby.
Yeah,
all right? Come on.
Yeah, come they on. Are.
No problem with my T levels, ladies. But I can't grow a beard. I've just never been able to grow a beard. I'm just not a hairy guy. I can grow maybe a little bit of a mustache. A little, and it just comes in real blotchy.
Hmm.
But no, look, you can see.
I found out I couldn't really grow one either. Yeah. That's why it had to go.
It took you a while.
It did. It took me a very long time.
This is what I hate. I hate thinking about it. And when you just shave every other day,
it's great.
Which I'm an every other day shaver when I'm clean shaving.
Yeah.
You don't think about it. You just shave and you get. This is like, I got to trim it up a little bit. It's like,
it's more work.
It is
more
work.
Go back the whole way. Did you betray me? I'm going to King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table.
Zoe, Sean Connery. All right, let's get to the other takeaway. The other takeaway today being that we discovered just in the middle of conversation that Ted Johnson was a surfer before he was a football player.
I surfed before I ever played football. I was on the surf team. True story. No, I'm not even kidding.
Why?
Was a surfer. Yeah.
Wait,
I got pictures to
prove
it.
High school surf team?
We put out more pro surfers than we do pro football players. Yeah, Taylor Knox for Carlsbad High School. We have an elite surf team. I took a surf class my senior year. The class started at Tamarack Beach. It was awesome, man. I'm not making this up, man. So I surfed before I ever played football. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. Not even joking, man.
Size board?
My first board was a Rusty surfboard. It was 6 feet tall. So I went with the shorter boards. When you get older, at my size, I got pictures. I'll show you later. I longboard when I go back. But man, I was on the surf team and loved it. Absolutely loved it. Early on.
Did you ever see any sharks?
I saw schools of dolphins, big dolphins that would swim under you. Oh my gosh! Yeah. There's something about just being out there sitting on the board. you know, just staring out into that ocean. It was awesome. It's a, you know, it's a strong culture. So in Southern California, it's very cliquey, right?
Right.
So jocks don't hang out with surfers, and surfers don't hang out with jocks. It's a very, I mean, those are two completely separate things. And so I had to make a choice.
I thought you were going to tell us a great story about how you united the two groups.
Well, I did to some degree. I did to some degree because I started out as a surfer, then I went to football. But all the surfer guys, all my surfing buddies, they were still boys with me, even though I was a football player.
You know what Ted is? He's a reverse Johnny Utah.
Reverse Utah.
That's right. We figured it out.
Did the surfing before the football, not football, and then surfing.
Opposite of Point Break.
Yes.
He did it the other way around.
Yes. Ted, you back tomorrow?
I'm not sure.
Maybe.
We'll see.
We might be seeing you again tomorrow.
I hope so, if that's the
case. It'll be fun.
I had a fun time today,
boys. We'll obviously have more to get to tomorrow, if that is the case. You know, there could be a movie there, uniting the football team and the, you know, one of those, like, High School Musical type things.
Screenwriter out there.
Get on it.
Get on that.
I'm on it.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line MA.org.